Well, good morning. It is great to see everyone this morning. I would invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We do have a few birthdays we get to celebrate this week. Oh man, it's always my favorite week, Debbie, to pick on you. She has a birthday on Tuesday, so make sure you're nice to her. Wish her a happy birthday. How old is she going to be on Friday, Miss Breyer?
Oh, she's six.
Six? Six? Really? Oh, man. Breyer Sitton is going to be six already. Already, by the way. That's real quick. So make sure you wish her a happy birthday for Friday. Man, you got birthday Saturday. So wish Josh a happy birthday for Saturday. He's going to be a whole nother day older. So anyway, make sure you wish them a happy birthday. You think about, we've been going through our worship and the things that we do and getting back and looking at some of these really basic, what we perhaps might call basic principles. The acts of worship and why we do them. Are we worshiping in spirit and in truth? And here in 2 Peter or 1 Peter chapter 2, I want you to actually back up into chapter 1 for just a moment to verse 22. Because that first word there is therefore in chapter 2 and verse 1. And so I want to look at what came before this that we get to look at. Here beginning in verse 22. Now, I want you to think about you, okay? Because that's really who he's focusing on here is the church. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, and the word, but the word of God of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Do you see how in verse 22 of chapter 1, Peter gets personal? Since you have obeyed. Notice there he goes in, you've obeyed, you've purified your souls in obedience to the truth. You've done this. You made a decision. You're the one who chose to be obedient to the truth of God's word. That's how we grow. That's how we get stronger. We are born again, not of corruptible man's seed, but of incorruptible, the word of God. That seed, as we read the parable of the sower, that the sower would go out and scatter. That seed, the pure word of God. When we think about that, we grow thereby. In verse 2 of chapter 2 is where I really would like to focus this morning. Notice there that for his newborn babes, what is our job? We are to desire the pure milk of the word that we may grow thereby. And again, he gets personal there. Desire this that you may grow thereby. So we put aside all of these worldly things in verse 1. And we see therefore our desire. And so this morning I would like to look, thinking about our worship and everything that we do. Do you desire to be here? I've told you this before. Today finally fell on a Sunday. This date. December 21st is my favorite day of the year. It is the winter solstice. It is the shortest day of the year. I hate darkness. I don't like it. I love sunshine. And the sun is shining today. And it's a bright blue sky. Now, I know it's a little chilly, but it's December. The way it works. It's going to be 70 on Christmas Day. Right? 70. I think just out of spite, I'm wearing shorts. I'm so thankful for sunshine. I'm thankful for light. This day is my favorite day. As far as a calendar date. But this day, you know, every week has one of these. The first day of the week is my favorite day of the week. And you may say, well, duh, you're a preacher. Okay. But I get to see you. We get to meet with the brethren. We get to worship God. We get to have a day where we get to come together, where we get to worship God, where we get to open His Word, we get to sing songs of praise, we get to pray, we get to give, we get to worship. But we get to do it. It is a privilege, it is a blessing that we get together to do so. But I want you to think about this blessing for just a moment. I want you to think about you and your spiritual desire. Now perhaps you like me, I was raised in the church. I'm telling you now, there were times when I was a kid, I did not want to be here. I want to go. I was tired and I wanted to sleep. My parents said, no, you got to go. It's what we do. It's who we are. I'm so thankful that they did. Because what it instilled in me was this desire that we see to come and be able to gather together. To be able to see those of like precious faith who have the same desire to be pleasing to God and to worship Him. And this morning I want to take a look at what desire it needs to look like and then the results of that desire. Look with me first at 2 Chronicles chapter 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. I don't know that we always go here for this account specifically, but 2 Chronicles chapter 1, beginning right there in verse 1. Now Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and exalted him exceedingly. I think usually we go to the king's account of this, right? And we read it. But I want you to pay attention. Go down to verse number 7. On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said to God, you have shown great mercy to David my father and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David my father be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours? Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. I want you to look at verse 11 especially. Here's the desire. Because this was in your heart. This was there. You, Solomon, asking for wisdom and knowledge that I can lead this people. And notice how he describes them. They're like dust of the earth in multitude. Dust. I know nobody cares much for dust, right? Because it gets everywhere, on everything. And when the sun shines just right, you can see it, right? It just stands out. You've got anything really besides carpet, but specifically if you have wood or a laminate floor, man, that sunlight hits it even after you've just swept it. It's like it just continues to build right back up, right? Comes right back. And all you do is blow it around. Can you imagine that many people that you've got to lead? That you've got to be over? You understand the responsibility? Solomon didn't say, hey God, now that you fulfilled that promise that you gave my dad, David, as king, I want everybody to bow down before me. I want everybody to give me stuff and pay me tribute. I want all of these things because it's got to be all about me. That's not what Solomon asked for at all. He asked for wisdom and knowledge so that he could lead the children of God the way that God would have him to. That, in verse 11, is what God is saying. Because this was in your heart. That's your desire. Not only am I going to give you what you desire, I'm going to go above and beyond. I'm going to give you what you didn't even ask for. You ever ask God just to help you get through a day? Did he get you through the next one too? Did he get you through the difficult time and the next difficult time and then that next difficult time? Yeah, you know why? Because you're still here. This is what God has gotten us through. He's gotten us through it. Everything. And then there's something even greater, and we'll look at this more in a few moments, but that result that comes, something greater even to look forward to. But this was Solomon's desire because this was in your heart. Think about this. Does God go exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think? Yeah, he sure does. He takes care of us in ways perhaps we didn't even know that we needed to be taken care of. God makes sure that we are always taken care of because we desire to follow after him, to do what he would have us to do. Staying here in 2 Chronicles, go now to chapter 15. Chapter 15. We're going to begin here in verse number 12. And here, these are these reforms that King Asa has put into place. And because of these reforms that King Asa has put into place, notice what happens with the children of Israel, because Asa's desire is to be right with God. And as king, what he wants then is for those that he's leading, just like with Solomon, he wants them to have that close relationship with God. And here, beginning in verse 12, then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. They took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. You see that result that came? Because they desired to seek God. Notice they did it with all their heart, with all their soul. This is with every ounce of their being. God gave them rest all around. That's what took place. That's what he gave to them. Something they didn't even ask for, right? They got as a result of their desire. That's all their heart, or all their soul. Because they desired to follow God and they weren't going to turn away from it. In fact, look at verse 13 and notice there that whoever would not seek him, didn't matter if they were the lowly peasant or the king himself, small or great, if their desire wasn't to seek God, they were going to be cut off. Man or woman didn't make any difference. God wasn't coming first, you're out. In fact, notice here, when they didn't do so, they were to be put to death. That's pretty serious, right? To seek after God, to make sure those around us to do the same. They were serious in their desire that they were going to follow after and follow what their leadership had said. We're going to follow God. Asa listened in verse 8 to everything. Knew what could happen if they would follow God and what could happen if they didn't. And here they see that result. He would give them rest all around. They weren't going to have all these wars, all these fights, all these things happening. That was the result of them following after God and devoting their life to him. Look with me at Psalm 27. Psalm 27. This particular psalm written by David is a declaration of his faith being in God. And beginning in verse 4, David writes, "One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon the rock. Notice one thing I have desired, to seek the Lord. That's my desire, to seek him. Notice here, because I want to dwell with him. I want to have that type of a relationship with him that I could dwell with him. It's the same thing that we should desire, right? That I will seek the Lord so that for all eternity I could dwell with him, that I could be with him. Notice the shelter that he gives. Everything that God gives to those who have this same heart set, mindset, desire. So we get to live with him. Put him first in our lives. Psalm 63 shows this same type of desire. Again, we think of here a psalm of David. Psalm 63, beginning in verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Perhaps you say there in verse 5, fat and abundance. That's the blessing that comes from God. That's the satisfaction that comes from having that desire. We sing this Psalm 63 and verse 1 as a song a lot of times at Bible camp. God, you are my God. I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning. I will learn to walk in your ways. Step by step, you lead me. I think about that song often. It's one that I love to just sing to myself. I love that, this psalm. To think about my desire to follow after him, to seek him. There's that diligence, right? That desire. When I have a desire to follow God, then I put that into practice and I seek after him. I look for him in everything and everywhere. I fit him into all aspects of my life. There's not a single part of my life that is mine, that he is separated from. Because let me tell you something, if there is, my faith's not in him. I don't follow him with my all my heart, all my soul, all my desire, not for him. If there's a part of my life that is separate from him, I don't separate anything from him. In fact, I separate myself from those things for him. And that demonstrates that desire to seek after him. I don't hide things. I can't hide them anyway. He's going to know them all. The secret things that I do or have done, God knows those things. I don't need to hide from him. In fact, I need to seek him out at all times. Early will I seek you. Meaning that as soon as I arise, as soon as I awake, he's the one that I'm looking for. And I thank him for the good night's rest. I thank, even if you may say, well, my rest wasn't very restful last night. Is that his fault? It means I seek him in everything at all times. Perhaps there's a reason I didn't sleep well, and that's because I didn't seek him. You know, the one that could help me get to rest really good is him. Anybody ever fall asleep praying? I listen to people all the time who say, I fell asleep praying last night. I didn't even say in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I can't think of any greater way to fall asleep. And talking to God, petitioning him, thanking him. What does it show? I desire and I seek him out because my desire is for him in everything that I do. I can't think of anything more restful. Preacher told a story one time when I was a kid of a man that was getting ready to die. He had gone to the hospital to see him and to sit with him and to pray with him. And he said, I'm sitting there at his bedside, and he said, I know that my life is coming to an end, and I'm getting ready to die. And he was very much aware of everything going on. And he said, I can't think of any greater way to die than in prayer to God. And so the preacher said, well, let's say a prayer. While they were praying, he passed away. I can't think of anything greater, any better way to go than in prayer to the Lord. Praying to Him, seeking Him out. When we have that type of desire in our lives, those are the things that take place. Go to Matthew 5, and I'll show you what we mean by that. Matthew chapter 5, you think about Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount. I want you to notice how He starts this out. He starts this out talking about happiness and how it's found. And in verse number 6, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus here says, blessed are those, notice, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's their desire. That's what they seek after. Hunger and thirst. When you're hungry, what do you look for? Go outside and play? Is that what we look for? Have a conversation with somebody? Is that what we look for? My wife tells me, if you're hungry, don't talk. Go find food. Because whoever you're trying to talk to is not going to like you very much. You're not pleasant. No, if I hunger for something, I'm hungry for food, I'm going to go find food. If I'm thirsty, I'm going to find water. I'm going to find something to drink. If I have that type of longing for God, then my desire is to seek Him out. That I'm going everywhere to find Him. I'm getting into His Word. I hunger and thirst for righteousness so I can be right with God. Well, if I'm going to be right with God, do I need to look anywhere outside of this? No, I just need to know what He'd have me to do. So I hunger and thirst for Him. That's that desire. That's the desire we should have at all times. Understanding what God would have us to do, how He would have us to live. When that's on the forefront of my mind, when that's what I desire, notice the results in those things that come from it. Go back with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. And see the result that takes place here. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 2 again. He says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. There's the result. Why does that come? If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. All the results that we have in everything that we desire, all these results are found in God's Word. All of them. And all of them come from Him. Everything that we want. When I desire, as a baby desires, pure milk or milk to be fed. Babies let you know when they're hungry? Yeah. They know three things, right? Eat, sleep, poop. That's all they want. And when they don't have one of those, they cry about it. Listen, do we get that way with God? Do I desire Him that much when I'm away from Him, when I have not followed through on my duties as a child of God, when I have not done as He would have me to do, if I've neglected spending time and things in His Word, if I've neglected those things, are you like me? Can you tell? Because I suddenly have an edge about everything. And I suddenly realize and understand what's happening, what's missing in my life. I should be crying, just like a baby. You should be able to tell. Something's wrong with that guy. You know, and fortunately, I think most of the time we can, and others around us can tell, when we've spent not enough time getting to know God. The result is that I become a baby. The result is that I have need of being in the Word of God, of living for Him and understanding who He is. So when I think about these things in my life, I want to give you an example in a few moments of just a few things that God gives to us. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. the results of wanting to be with Him, to be right with Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. A lot of times we go here in verses 6 and 7, right, to talk about our giving. We'll go down to verse 10. Now may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You see that righteousness? And I can grow in Him, be right with Him because He's the one who supplies them, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, verse 11, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayers for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. You know, me being fruitful is something that God gives to me. He gives me that opportunity to share with others. He gives us the opportunity to help one another. He's the supplier. He's the one. So that we can share and we can be fruitful and continue then to be fruitful. We increase there in verse 10, the fruits of your righteousness that we show God living in us. When I desire to know God and grow closer to Him, as I desire and get into His Word and know Him more and more, you know, He's the one that's then seen in me. That's the fruits of righteousness. It's Him living in me and being shown and shared with everybody else. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning there in verse number 12. He talks about here the church and how He puts us in the place. Notice verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You see how I grow in Christ? When I grow in Him, it affects everyone around me, including my brothers and sisters in Christ. That we build each other up, we make each other better. And what we see in one another then is Christ. Being His body, joined and knit together. Notice every part doing its share. So I have a job and a responsibility, and so do each of you. And we are fit together, joined together, that we, as the body, can be perfect and right in Him. Because He's the head, and we follow as He instructs us to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 helps us to see something else, that not only are we joined and knit together, but there is something that continues to show. We saw it in verse 16 there of Ephesians 4, that we grow in love. Here we see the same thing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Jesus is going to return. And notice here that increase in verse 12. That's the result of that desire, that we continue to grow in love, not only toward one another, but to all. Got to look this up real quick. 2 seconds. John 16. Nope, it's not right either. John 13, there it is, 34 and 35. Notice, this new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Notice verse 35, he says, by this they'll know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Where's that come from? Him. It comes from him, from the example that he set and that he left for us. That example that we have to follow after, that we demonstrate that love. And notice this, that all may know, that all isn't just those who are in the body of Christ, but it's also for those outside. What did Paul write to the church at Thessalonica? Not just for the church, but for all. Those even outside would know that love that we have. This is the result of desiring to follow him, that we continue to grow in that love. We continue to demonstrate that love, that we continue to help one another understand truly just how much love God has for us. And we get to help those outside of the church to see the same. We get to grow in love. If you go back with me to 2 Peter, this time to chapter 3, I want you to notice, and again, there are a lot of other things that we grow in, and as a result of desiring to follow after him, we continue to grow in. This is just a small portion that we see. But here in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, beginning in verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Verse 17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Do you see that growth that comes in the knowledge of him? Again, we look forward. He has just talked about in chapter 3, starting in verse 10, about the day of the Lord. That it's going to come as a thief in the night. That the earth and all the works in it are going to be destroyed, melted with fervent heat. If I know those things, and knowing Jesus is going to return, just as we looked there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, seeing that return of Jesus, then I need to be diligent. I need to have that desire always. Notice there, to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. We get it. We're going to sin. But I can make sure that my life is right with him. I can be forgiven of every sin that I have ever committed. I can be right in the eyes of God. I can stand before him without spot and blameless on that day. He's the one who's long-suffering. And that long-suffering is for our salvation. To be able to spend eternity with him in heaven. I can be right with him. And so because I know this, I need to make sure that my desire is always putting him first. I need to beware of those that might take scripture and twist them. I need to beware of me doing that in my own life. I need to beware that at all times I am living my life according to his standard of how he would have me to live. You see, the result of that is I grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I look forward to spending eternity in heaven with him. And if my desire is in the right place, putting him first in my life, the result is salvation. To be able to live with him. To hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's what we can all hear. If we will put him first. If we will have that desire. If we will desire his word. Like that pure milk. There's no blemish in it. There's no sour in it. There's nothing wrong with it. His word is perfect and will be for all time. And I can live there. I can live with him for all eternity if I will follow what he has to say. I want you this morning to think about your spiritual desire. Is it to spend eternity in heaven? We talk and act as if, well, yeah, Corey, absolutely it would. Well, do those around you see it? If you're honest with yourself, is it truly the desire that you have every day, if your life was to end, to be able to go to heaven? Is it truly the example that you set? Is it truly the desire that you have? Or do we kind of push those things to the side because I've got some things here that I've got to take care of and get done? Well, let me tell you something. Those things to get taken care of and get done here aren't going to get you to heaven. The desire to live for Him and to show that in everything that we do, that will get us to heaven. We've got to make sure our priorities are straight and that our desire to be in heaven is stronger than any desire for anything we have here. We've got to make sure that we're right with Him. So this morning I would ask, what's your desire look like? Maybe perhaps this morning you desire to become a child of God, to put your faith into practice, believing in the Son of God, willing to confess Him, willing to repent of your sin and allow Him to wash away your sins in that watery baptism where you rise to walk then in newness of life. Maybe your desire as a child of God is to get things right with Him, to make sure that your life is lived in accordance with His will. And this morning, if we can help you in any way, we'd ask you to come now. So together we stand and sing the song. It's been selected.